number 347.
Who will follow Jesus? 347.
That'll be the song following the lesson.
Books number 329. Number 329. God calling yet shall I not hear? Earthless shall I still fear? Shall bless the passing years all fly?
Oh,
Thank you.
Great Physician, number 338.
Oh.
Each day I'll do my golden deed by helping those who are in need. My life on earth is but a speck, and so I'll do the best I can.
My seeming son.
He is the God that we The scripture reading is from Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verses 24 through 27. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verses 24 through 27. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as a greater value than the treasure of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. That was Hebrews 11, 24 through 27.
As was just read in your hearing, Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 24 through 27, we hear about Moses, who, as a young man, was left to be found by Pharaoh's daughter. When she found him, she raised him as his own. Moses was raised to be, as it were, a grandson to the Pharaoh of Egypt, one of the most powerful nations of the world. And yet here, as we read in the book of Hebrews, the Hebrew writer describes Moses as saying that he understood that there was something more important in this life than the riches and the pleasures the land of Egypt could afford to him. It says that by faith, in verse 27, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So Moses was willing to forsake all the riches of a life in Egypt in order to be pleasing to God. And his leaving even put him in danger from the Pharaoh. He had to leave the entire country of Egypt and wander about and work in the wilderness of Midian for a time because of Pharaoh's anger. So we see that Moses was willing to give up everything that he had. And it says that he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That was through his faith. He understood that there was something beyond the things that Egypt could offer to them. In like manner, I'd like for us to consider some others who it says that they forsook something in this life in order to be pleasing to God. You'll turn over to Luke chapter 5. In Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 11, let's begin in verse 9. It says, "For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid, from now on you will catch men.' So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him." Speaking of Peter, Andrew, James, and John, who were all fishermen at this time, when Jesus came to them, he showed them a great catch of fish. They had not been productive throughout the whole day. And yet here Jesus allowed them to catch a great amount of fish in this one dropping of their nets. And then afterwards he says, "Come and follow me." In verse 11 it says, they brought their boats to land and they forsook all and followed him. Here they even left this great amount of fish that they had brought. They were by occupation fishermen. This is how they made their livelihood. And they were willing to leave their boats, this great amount of money that was just brought to them, everything, when Jesus told them to forsake it and to come follow them. They were willing to do so. In Mark's account of that, in Mark chapter 1 and verse 8, it says that they immediately left their nets and followed him. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 22, it says that they left their father and the boats to follow after him. So there was a lot that these four men were willing to leave when Jesus asked them to come and to follow him. Later on in Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 27, it says, "And after these things, he, being Jesus, went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, 'Follow me.' So he left all, rose up, and followed him." So again, here we see one who is willing, who is by occupation a tax collector of that land. He was sitting in his booth or office where he kept the money and collected from the people. And yet when Jesus came by his booth and told him, "Come, follow me," what did he do? It says that he got up and he left that which he was working at to follow Jesus. So we see that he was able to, or willing to forsake all to follow after him. To forsake something is to give something up that was held dear, or to leave altogether or abandon it, or to renounce it. When we look at these gentlemen, the fishermen, the tax collector, and we think about Moses. They were willing to forsake the things that they held dear in this life, their whole livelihoods. In the case of the four fishermen, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, they were willing to leave their fathers behind that they might go and follow after Jesus because they knew that that was more important in this life. So we see that they were willing to leave their entire way of life and all to do the work of God. And like Moses, as we said, he was willing to abandon a life of comfort as the grandson of Pharaoh to wander about in the desert in discomfort through many trials and struggles out in the wilderness. Yet he was willing to do that when he could have easily had a life of ease and pleasure living in the land of Egypt. We see others that Jesus admonishes that are willing to forsake certain things in this life for the kingdom of heaven's sake. Matthew chapter 19, Jesus has been going on a discourse about marriage and divorce among the people, and the people were asking him, well, what's acceptable? What would God allow us to do? Can we divorce according to God? And verse 8, he continues on in Matthew chapter 19, he said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. And his disciples said to him, if such is the case of the man with his wife, it is better not to marry. But he said to them, all cannot accept this saying, but only those to whom it has been given. For there are eunuchs who were born thus from their mother's womb, and there are eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men, and there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He who is able to accept it, let him accept it. So he's saying, Jesus here is putting forth, saying, some might not be able to bear this, as the apostle said. This is a difficult thing for us to understand. If that's the only reason to be able to separate from one's wife, then that is a very difficult thing. They understood the permanency of this arrangement. And Jesus said that there are some who choose not to be married, even for the kingdom of heaven's sake. As we see in verse 12, that they make themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. They abstain from the things of this world, some of the pleasures that we might have and companionships that we might have in this world, in order to better serve the kingdom of heaven. We see that, I believe that Paul is a good example of this. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul is also addressing some of these issues of marriage to the people in Corinth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning in verse 7, he says, for I wish that all men were even as myself. But each one has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they remain even as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. So we see here and in other later on in the book that Paul forwent some of the companionship that he was by all rights allowed to have in this world. He could have taken along a wife with him if he wanted to. He had no restrictions on that. But yet we see that for the kingdom of heaven's sake, Paul forwent that pleasure of the companionship to take along with him. I'd like for us to consider ourselves as well. When God calls us to the work, and we know that there's something for us to do, do we go, or do we linger on still in pursuit of some of the things that this world might have to offer for us? We look at the case of the apostles. They were willing to forsake all that they had, their whole livelihoods at that time, when they saw it was necessary to follow after the Lord, to do the things that God wanted them to do. Or do we have the attitude that as they and as Isaiah did in Isaiah chapter 6 and in verse 8, Isaiah said, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. Do we have that willingness when there is work to be done to be like Isaiah and say, here am I, send me. Let me do something. I can work. When God has a need for something to be done, I am willing to do it. Or are we still holding on to the things of this life instead? Are there other things that might distract us from serving God as we ought to? In Matthew chapter 21, I'd like for us to consider two sons. It's a parable that Jesus put forth, but in Matthew chapter 21, in verse 28 beginning, he says, "But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said to him, 'The first.' Jesus said to them, 'Assuredly I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and harlots believed him. And when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him.'" So again, the example he puts forth here, there were two that were both called to go out and do work, and yet they both found excuses not to. The first said, "I would not," but then he felt sorry for that attitude that he had, and he did, and went out and did the work. And yet the other one lied about it and said, "I will go," but yet he found some other way to distract himself and spend his time rather than going about and doing what he was called to do, what his father had told him to go out and to do and to work for him. And then In Acts chapter 16, we see an interesting case here of where Paul was trying to make plans on where he was to go and to do work, where he was going to go and to preach the gospel. In Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 9, or excuse me, let's go back. It says in verse 6, Acts 16 and verse 6, "Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas." So we see here that Paul is trying to go throughout all these different regions, and yet he's being constrained not to go there. And in verse 9 it says, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis." And then it says that they went on into the lands of Macedonia. But here we see that Paul had been trying to make plans. He thought that he would be best serving by going about through all these areas of Asia. And that was the plans that he had made. There was nothing wrong in those plans except that God had something else for him to do. Yet we see that when he understood that God wanted him to go into Macedonia, he didn't try to argue and say, "Well, I think it would be better if I went on to Asia. These other people up here need me quite a bit too." It says, after he'd seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia. So we see here that as soon as he understood what was needed of him, he immediately abandoned all of his plans and desires in order to do God's work. I'd like for us also to consider the character of a few other people. In Luke chapter 9, we see others that allowed the things of this earth and of this world, the cares and desires of it, to keep them from following God. They weren't willing to forsake the things of this life. In Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 57, it says, Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Then he said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." And another also said, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who were at my house." But Jesus said to him, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." So all of these Jesus had called, or they offered to come and follow after Jesus, to do the work that he and his disciples were doing, to join them in that effort of spreading the news of the kingdom of heaven. And yet, the three of these here, we see there was something that in this life would hold them back from serving as they ought to. Especially in verse 59, he says, Jesus said to him, "Follow me." But he said, "Let me first go and bury my father." There was something in this life that was holding him back from doing the things that God would want him to do. He was not willing to forsake the things and cares of this world for the more important work in the kingdom of God. And others will allow riches to block their mind and the things of this earth and possessions and the things that we think that we need in this life to be happy. Others allow that to prevent them from serving God as they ought to. In Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 17, it says, "Now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, 'Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' So Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother.' And he said to him, 'Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth.' Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, 'One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me.' But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, 'How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God.'" So we see here there was a young man who was so eager, so willing to do whatever it was, that one thing. He wanted to know, what is the one thing that I lack that I might have eternal life? He eagerly wanted to know. And yet, when Jesus told him what that one thing was, he wasn't willing to give up the things of this world in order to be obedient to him. He loved the things of this life and the riches of it more than the kingdom of God. Paul admonishes Timothy to teach others to be mindful of falling into this trap as well in 1 Timothy chapter 6. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 9, Paul writes, "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Notice this. Paul is warning. He says, the love of money can lead to all kinds of evil in men, and the desire to be rich. For that, many fall into temptation and a snare, because they desire the things of this earth more than the kingdom of God and the riches of it. In verse 11 he says, "But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness." So he says, don't allow yourself to be entangled up with the cares and desires of this world and the riches therein. We have a good example, as we started with, talking about Moses, who had at his disposal all the riches of one of the greatest nations of the world at that time, in Egypt. It was a rich and powerful country. And yet, he deemed the riches of Egypt for naught, for the glory that he knew would be coming by serving God instead. And Paul further gives us admonition in 1 Timothy chapter 6 of how we ought to conduct ourselves and what we should be mindful of instead. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 6, he says, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content." Then he goes on to warn about the riches, the desire for riches, as we just read. So what is it that we should be seeking instead? It's godliness. He says, if you want to be rich in this life, godliness with contentment is great gain, greater than all the riches you can have in this world. Now, in the last few moments, I'd like for us to consider the flip side of forsaking the things in this world. As we read earlier in Luke chapter 5 and verse 11, when Jesus called the disciples to him, it said that they forsook all to follow him. But yet I'd like for us to notice over in Mark chapter 14, where in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Roman soldiers have come to take Jesus captive. In Mark chapter 14 and verse 50, it says, "Then they all forsook him and fled," speaking of his disciples. It says, they all forsook him, Jesus, and fled from him and the Roman mob. Here were those who were willing to leave everything in this life, leave their families, leave their employments, leave everything in order to follow God. And yet here, there's a time of trial and temptation has come upon them. They're in great danger in this physical life. And it says, they succumbed to it, and they all forsook him, or they abandoned him and fled. As we'll all be faced with moments of trial in our life, but yet we can overcome that. Let's consider back in Mark chapter 14, right before this, in verse 31. It says, but he spoke more vehemently, this being Peter. He says, if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said likewise. Just before, they all forsook him and fled. They vehemently, as Peter here said, I will not forsake you. Even if I have to die with you, I would not leave you. And yet, just a few moments later, what does he do? He was willing. He had that desire to stay with God, with Jesus, but yet he would not. It says in verse 38, Jesus tells them to watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Yes, their spirit was willing to stay with him even to the point of death. And yet, when the temptation, the trial came, they were overcome by it. We all face that same trial and temptations that we have the choice to make when trials come. Are we going to stand strong with Christ? Or are we going to flee from him to save our own selves, to forsake the Lord as they did? But we see later on that when the trial was over, they were all very sorrowful for the actions that they had done, for forsaking him. And as we discover and read and learn about the apostles later on after this event, we know that they came back even stronger than they were before in their convictions. And many of them really were truly willing to die for Christ. And many of them did die for him, as we read later on through history. So, what is it that we're willing to forsake? Are we willing to forsake the things of this life in order to do what God would have us to do? Are we willing to forsake the comforts that we might have in order to do the work of the kingdom, to be workers in the vineyard, as we talked about this morning in our class? There's the kingdom of God is compared to a vineyard, and there is a need for work to be done to keep that vineyard and to make it to grow and strengthen it. Are we willing to do the work that we ought to? I'd like for us to consider one other aspect of this. Back in Mark chapter 10 and verse 28, after they've just seen the things that happened to the rich young ruler that came and asked, what is the one thing that I lack? And Jesus told them that how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. And it says later on in verse 26, it says, and they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you. Peter's asking and saying, or making a statement almost, well, we've already left everything in this world to follow after you. He's almost asking, what's in it for us almost? What is there for us? See, we were willing to give up everything that this young man wasn't. We've already done that. And Peter says, we have left all and followed you. And Jesus' response to that, in verse 29, Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come eternal life. So what is it that we can gain if we're willing to forsake the things of this life, if we were to forsake all to follow after God, to serve in his kingdom? Jesus said, those who are willing to leave all these things will be compensated for it. And he says, in the age to come, they will have eternal life. What greater compensation can we hope for than that promise of eternal life? If we're willing to give up our own selfish lives in this world, he promises us eternal life with him. So that is our compensation, and that is compensation enough. So I'd like for us to consider this evening and throughout the coming days and time, are we willing to forsake all to follow God? We see that Moses was willing to give up a lot. The apostles gave up a lot. They're willing to give up their own desires in this life. They gave up the comforts of this life in order to be pleasing to God. Would you be willing to do the same? If you've not yet become a Christian, then you have the opportunity tonight forsake your own desires in this world and start living your life pleasing to God. We can assist you in this evening. We can, if you've at once dedicated yourself to God and said that you would serve Him, yet like the apostles in time of trial and temptation, fell away for a time, then if we can assist you in coming back through prayers and encouragement of your brethren, we ask that you let that be known as we now stand and sing.
Who followed Jesus, standing for the right, holding out His banner in the thickest light, listening for His orders, ready to obey. Who will follow Jesus, serving Him today? Who will follow Jesus, who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus, who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus in His busy ways, working for the Master, giving Him the praise, earnest in His vineyard, honoring His laws, faithful to His counsel, watchful for His cause. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side. Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side. Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus in His work of love? Leading others to Him, lifting prayers above.
Who will follow?